So before we begin, I want to just say, I welcome you. If you're visiting with us or you weren't here last week, I want to welcome you. We started just a kind of a mini-series, and I'll get into that in a second. But I want to also just state and for you that the message this morning will pertain mostly for those who dare to call themselves disciples of Christ, followers of Christ. And if that's you're just seeking this morning, you're just visiting with us, you know, that you're just checking it out, you may find that is happening, and maybe you'll say, well, I don't know what's going on. But also, there may be principles that you can use and apply to your life as well. In fact, there are no doubt. But I want to just point that out and clear that up. And then if you are visiting and you are in that boat, perhaps, you know, you're just seeking, maybe somebody in your life has told you about church, has told you about, you know, God, or has told you about Christ. In fact, maybe for all of us here, we can think back to a time when someone's witnessed to us or someone has shared with us about Jesus before we knew him. For me, I grew up in a Christian home, and that doesn't mean I didn't get witnessed to. I did, of course. My parents were relatively new to the faith when I was born, like right new, and so they were trying to figure things out, of course. But I always say I was born into a Christian home, and it transitioned quite a bit as I grew into my adult years, as my parents transitioned in their faith and grew in deeper ways and different ways and struggled and did all those things that you do as you grow in your Christian faith. But you know what? I had some witnessing. One of my main, I remember the first person kind of witnessing to me that I remember was my sister would share about, you know, why I needed to, you know, say the prayer and become a Christian and those sorts of things that maybe some of you are familiar with in your growing, in your faith journey. But you know what? As I grew and as time came on, it became abundantly clear, you know, as a Christian, as a disciple, that's probably something that I should be doing is kind of telling people about Jesus or telling people about the, God or church or different things as I understood it as I was growing up. And I always found that difficult. I had a hard time, you know, kind of sharing. I grew up playing hockey. We were on the road, it felt like 30 weeks of the year. And so you're growing with a bunch of guys and you know that, you know, most of them, as far as I ever knew, I don't think any of them went to church like I did, and so there was plenty of opportunity for me. But it could be intimidating as a young guy with in that kind of a format, and so I would struggle. But you know, they knew that I went to church. They knew that I, you know, I did those sorts of things. In fact, some of them came to church with me every once in a while, just to check it out. But I always found a difficult thing to share my faith. And I think part of that for me was I didn't really understand, you know, what am I sharing? What am I supposed to do? How do I even share my faith with people? Do I just, you know, let them have it, both barrels, all the time, and everything I say needs to be in their face about Jesus and until they're so sick of me, you know, they turn the other way and they run? Or, you know, do I just kind of live by example? You know, and just say, well, I'm just going to live a good life. I won't say anything about it. I'll just, you know, live the way Jesus desires me to live, and they'll see it through my actions. And, of course, that was problematic in the fact that, although more comfortable for me, problematic in the fact that I couldn't sustain that. And if, you know, you, especially for guys, you know, on my hockey team, I couldn't sustain that because, you know, that's not often, you know, that your character stays 100%, especially on the ice. You know, you're upset or you're mad or something. Sometimes things are said, and things happen. But maybe you can relate with me as I say these things, and you know, and where you're at in your faith journey, you would say, yeah, you know, whether you grew up in the Christian home or whether you are new to the faith. You know, sharing that faith can sometimes be a bit of a struggle for a number of those reasons. Either, you know, we say too much, or we say too little, or we depend too much on our actions, which are fallible, or we have, you know, trouble, maybe even trouble relating to why would I share this message? I mean, yeah, it's supposed to be good news, but has it really been all that great? Why would I share? Maybe for some of us, it's a crisis of faith in the fact that sharing something that maybe we struggle even to follow through on or to believe in. Witnessing is a difficult thing. It's hard. I don't think it was ever meant to be easy, to share our faith, to share the good news. When things are good and things are happening, it becomes easier. But you know what? When we're dealing in our own struggles, in our own problems, in our own low points in life, definitely it becomes a lot harder to share about what God has done and what God is doing. Well, there's other reasons. I mean, what if it goes wrong? What if you say, you know, hey, if you do this, you know, God will be faithful, and he's not faithful to that person. Or well, not that he's not faithful, but it doesn't work out the way you had pointed to how it should work out. Or what if you say something and you don't, you know, you're not confident in your biblical knowledge and you look stupid? What if God doesn't show up when you think he'll show up? Or maybe you've said the word to yourself, well, I'm not really an evangelist, you know, I'm not that type of person. I don't have that type of spiritual gift. You know, the scriptures, as we turn into the scriptures, I would say that they point us in a bit of a different direction. And maybe, just maybe, if we listen and we look, we can get a little bit of help in this area from Jesus himself, as he is one who sends out his disciples and sends out his people. Yeah, start here. Jesus himself, actually, we find it at the very end of Matthew, says this to his disciples as they, you know, there was no putting it aside or hiding it. He says to them, I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Being a disciple is understanding that we have been sent to spread the good news. We have been sent to spread the good news. Jesus, as we read and we started last week, we looked at this scripture in Matthew. Jesus sends out his 12. He doesn't send out just a few of his 12. He doesn't say, well, you know what, you're not really equipped for this job, Judas. You just sit this one out. Or Peter, you know what, you talk a little too much. You sit this one out. I'm just going to send the people who are gifted in this area. He sends all 12. And later on in the scriptures, he sends not just the 12, but the 72. And he sends them all out. And then, of course, what we just read at the end of Matthew was through all the disciples, all those who gathered while Jesus stood there and gave his last words before he ascended and sent them up. Being a disciple, at least one element of being a disciple, is sharing our faith, sharing about our experience with Jesus Christ, sharing about the fact that we have been sent, that God sent his Son, and his Son sent us, his disciples, to go into the world and to share the good news. Last week we covered already, as we looked at the Matthew chapter 10 and specifically the verse 16 that says, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And we looked at it last week, the idea of being sheep, being sent out as amidst the wolves. Now, that doesn't sound super enticing, I know. But we also learned as we did that the point is, we're going to skip that. The sheep is totally dependent on the shepherd. We talked about the weakness of the sheep. The sheep are stupid. I mean, the sheep, and not our sheep, but sheep in general are not very smart. They do not defend themselves. They have no defense against predators. The sheep and the wolf that we decided, we looked at, the sheep will never overcome the wolf. They will never be able to fight off the wolf. And we looked at a number of things as to why that would be and how we would anticipate, you know, what would happen being sent out as sheep amidst the wolves. But the reality is that the sheep, though the sheep was totally dependent on the shepherd, the sheep will never overcome the wolf. The reality is that Jesus has overcome the world. And Jesus has overcome the wolf. And that through Christ is the only way that the sheep overcome the wolf, that the sheep, that we overcome the world, is through Christ. So as Jesus says, "I send you out as sheep among the wolves," is a cry for us to remember that we are totally dependent on the shepherd for our survival, for our protection, to continue on the mission in which he sent us out for. The next thing he says, though, is he says that you are to be wise as serpents. Wise as serpents. And I want to say for you this morning, as we look at that and as I understand, what does that mean? The sheep, you are to be wise as serpents. You are to be as cunning as the serpent. Is that the serpent is always aware of the circumstances around them. You know what? Serpents get a bad name in Scripture. I mean, who can think of a good serpent in the Scripture? There are a few. There's a few odd times, but there's definitely one really bad serpent that comes up. I mean, when we talk about Genesis, the one who, you know, Adam and Eve are just there. They're minding their own business. They're enjoying creation. God had laid them out this spread so perfect that, you know what, we have no idea what it was even like as they gather in the garden that God had created for them. And then along comes the serpent, and we're told there he is the most cunning, the sharpest tool in the drawer. He is the most wisest creature to crawl on the earth, to be on the earth, not to crawl on the earth, but to be on the earth. And of course he comes and he, you know, as he deceives Adam and Eve, and we begin to get a bit of a bad taste in our mouths about the serpent. And yet Jesus, in this portion of the Scripture, says to us that we are to be like the serpent. We are to be wise like the serpent in what we do. So what does that mean? Well, the serpent is astute. I mean, he's like a wise, you know, business manager. You know, he knows what's going on in his company. He knows what's happening all around him. You know, even to think about a snake, I don't know, have you ever seen a snake surprised? I don't, really possible. I mean, there's enough YouTube videos out there. But, it seems to me something that can smell with its tongue and can look all over the place is hardly surprised. But serpents are well aware of their surroundings. They're well aware of what's going on around them. And so, how do we be aware? How do we be like a serpent? How are we wise? Well, being aware of our circumstances. And I think the first thing we need to realize as we look back at the Scripture and we look at verse 16, God says to them, "Behold, I send you out. I send you out. Look, I am sending you out." It's an intentional move. God is always intentional with us. And therefore, we are to be intentional. God says, "I am sending you out. I have this place I want you to go." We talked about it a bit last week. It's about the mission. I have a mission I want you to accomplish. And as we go out, we are to be aware that we go out intentionally. We are to go out with on the focus of our mind that we are on a purpose. God has sent us out to be on purpose. If we're aware of this point, that God is sending us out, we know that as we meet into whatever it is you go, you know, if you go to your workplace, if you go to your, you know, social activities that you have, you go to the hockey game, you're meeting friends, you're watching TV, you're watching a movie, then no matter where we go out, God has sent us into this world intentionally. He has sent us out. Some people say, well, there's no accidents, you know, there's no coincidences. Well, I don't know, but if that's true, then is God not walking you through in the areas that you go out into your life? We are to be intentional, to understand that God is behind sending us out, being sent people. And so he says, "I am sending you out." Be aware of where you are going. Be aware of who you are meeting. Be aware of who you are talking to. Who are you talking to? Who are you meeting? What relational aspects and relational areas of your life are you entering into? And if you're aware of that, then the next logical question is, what are you doing in those relationships? What are you putting forth in those relationships? Is it positive? Is it God-centered? Or is it person? Is it us-centered, self-centered? Who are we going out? Who are we sent to? Be aware. The second thing that we need to be aware of as we read through these scriptures, and it becomes abundantly obvious, is that bad things will happen. Bad things will happen. I mean, we can just go through here right now, and Jesus says to his disciples when he sends them out, verse 17, be aware of men and women, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. That doesn't sound good. That's, yeah. He says, you will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them. Be aware. He says, now, you know, when you get to deep into this, you start to follow me, you start to pick up your cross and be a disciple of Christ. You know what? It's going to turn brother against brother, sister against sister, son against mother, son against father, father against son. It's going to cause problems, and bad things will happen. Goes on in 22, he says, you will be hated. 23, when they persecute you, not if, that's discouraging. When? When they persecute you. You know, you say, well, you know what, I don't know the last time we had a good scourging in the synagogue or really terrible, awful things of that nature have taken place. But some of you might remember, some of you might be dealing with a family turmoil, brother against brother, sister against mother. Some of you may be feeling hated. Now, we don't deal as, you know, we got to translate some things from Roman times to our times now. But how about this? When you've made a stand or you've said something, have you ever felt like that? You know, in a lot of ways, that's a reality now. What you say, what your opinion is, what you feel, in a matter of minutes could be in 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 years, and you will be looked at and you will be judged for it, and judged harshly. I mean, you can see this poor soul running. No, but you know what? You know, I'm sure some of us, maybe a lot of us, have written something, on Facebook or all those other things you can write things on nowadays. I don't even want to start by naming them. I know one, and barely at that. And how long before somebody, you know, begins to fry you over something you've said or a stand you've made? You know, bad things will happen when we stand up, when we say, when we make a stand, when we say something for the cause of Christ. And it may not be a scourging in the synagogue, but it may feel like that. Be aware that standing up sometimes for the cause of Christ, saying something that would be intentional and well-meaning to help somebody, will sometimes come back on you. And it may get you to the point where you say, why do I even bother? Why would I even say anything? Why would I even do anything? And you become defeated. Be aware. Be wise as serpents. First, be wise in what you say, but also be wise in the awareness that, you know what, sometimes saying things in the cause of Christ will not be taken well. We got to be, you know what, that's going to happen. The next thing we need to be aware of is that what we say is of the greater purpose. Make sure what we say or what we're aware of is that we're aware of the greater purpose in our lives. We're aware that there is something greater first of all, than ourselves, but something that we need to be aware of that's greater in our lives. And I'm going to tell you what I mean by that. As we flip over to, and we look at there's a few places it talks about fear. Verse 26 says, therefore, do not fear them. You know, do not fear these things that are going to happen, these bad things. Don't fear those things. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed. God says in the end, you know what? If you are fighting for my cause will be revealed in the end. My victory will be revealed in the end. It says, so things that are covered will be revealed. The truth will be revealed in the end. Is that not something we say, oh, thank goodness? Is that not a thank goodness moment? You can say thank goodness if you want. In the end, the truth of Christ will be revealed. That's a greater purpose. Later on in 28, he says, and do not fear those, you know this verse, who will kill the body. Do not fear those who will kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who can kill body and soul. That is a greater purpose. Even unto death, Jesus says, we need to be concerned with the greater purpose, which is a very interesting statement. When you begin to think about it, the greater purpose actually transcends our own living, breathing lives on this earth. That's a big deal. He says, fear not, because in the end, the truth will be revealed. In the end, what matters is eternal. It's of the greater purpose. When we are aware of those things, we are aware that our lives are meant to be intentional. We are intentionally sent out to be in someone else's life, to be living our lives, spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what we are to be intentional aware of. When they are aware of that, things begin to move. When we're aware of the fact that bad things will happen because of that, and life will need to continue, sometimes through trials that are very, very difficult in your life, very, very difficult in my life. And we need to be aware of that, and we also need to be aware of the greater purpose. That in the end, God will reveal his truth, and we want to be a people of truth. And God will reveal his eternal purposes, which are far better, far beyond our mortality and the limited view of our purposes that we have here on earth. So what now? If we know that, if we understand that, if we look at the ability to go out, to be sent, a sent people sent out as serpents of all things, wise as serpents. Well then comes the opportunity that you have to change somebody's life. When you're aware of those things and you can move beyond the fear, beyond the questions of, well, I don't think I have what it takes. I'm not worthy to share the good news of Christ, or I'm afraid to share the good news of Christ, or you know what, it's not really my gifting. When we get beyond that, because we're aware of that we are a sent people, then we have the opportunity. Then we have the ability to be light and to be life to other people, to bring that to other people. Jesus said that we can bring peace, that we can bring joy, that we can bring victory, that we, through him, can overcome darkness, not only in our own lives, but we can be instrumental in the lives of others. And he says this as a little bit, right at the very end of the chapter as he sends them out. He says, anyone who receives you, my disciples, anyone who receives you, guess what? They receive me, he says. They receive Christ. It's as if Christ has walked into their living room or into their workspace or into their ice fishing shack. I like that one. Into their lives. Christ has walked into their lives. When he sends you, He says, I send me. I send myself. And he says, whoever receives me receives the Father. As disciples, we are a sent out group, a sent out people to bring the Father, God, into the lives of others. We need to be aware of the message that we carry. We need to be aware that the message that we bring, whether you feel that you are worthy or that you can do it or that you can't do it, whether you, doesn't matter. The message that you bring is the good news of Jesus Christ, that he has come into this world to save. When you enter into someone's life, it's not just you that enters in. Through you is a gateway to the Heavenly Father himself. We need to be aware of that. We need to be aware that when we stand in that place in whom the presence is in which we stand, it's not just me and that other person. We stand in a much bigger presence. We are a sent people. We have that distinct ability to bring light and to bring life into the lives of people who do not know Jesus Christ. That is a major responsibility. That is exciting. I want to end with this question for you. Do you believe that you are sent? Do you believe that you are sent? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we gather in this place, as we open your word again and again, it speaks to us the truth of who you are. And Lord, even to read that and to read this message that Jesus says to his disciples, Jesus, the one who is sent by the Father, by you, God, sent to us, to send us. Lord, it is amazing. God, it is unbelievable that as we go, you go. Lord, I pray that you would make us wise as serpents, that as we enter into the circumstances of life that you place us, that we know and we are aware that you go with us, that you have sent us, and the impact and the amazing good news that we have to share with people. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.